There was a son that was sleeping in on a Sunday morning, and it was church day, and the mother yells up the stairs, "Son, it's time to go to church." And the son just kind of groans and says, "Mom, I don't want to go to church." Did that happen to anybody today? And mom says again, "Son, you got to go. It's Sunday. We go to church on Sunday. You need to get up and get dressed and let's get going." And he's like, "Mom, I don't feel like going to church." And that goes on, and he says again, "I don't want to go to church." And then finally the mom says to the son, "But son, you're the pastor." This morning when that alarm went off at 7:30, I didn't want to go to church today. I worked out on Friday, and I am sore. I'm trying to look like I'm not sore, but I'm really sore physically. Spiritually, I'm not sore. I'm healthy and strong. But anyway, but if you know, but we always say around here, when you least feel like going to church, that's when you need to go. God has something for you. So to all you watching by live streaming, no. There are three main areas that we teach on here concerning the ministry of the believer. And that's very important to us because our mission is empowering people to give life. So we're raising up life givers. And so the three main parts are who we are, what we have, and what we can do. Now, who we are is our identity in Christ. And when we were saved, we were given this position. We've been made righteous. We have right standing with God. We are sons and daughters. But then what's our inheritance? And there's so much that's in our inheritance. And I'm not just talking about when we die and go to heaven. I'm talking about here on this earth. We have an abundant life. We have an inheritance. And then what we can do is our authority. And that's where our ministry of reconciliation comes into play. Our purpose of why we're here, to bear fruit for the kingdom. But we've been given authority. Now, so today I want to talk about part of our inheritance. Talk about our daily blessings. Did you know that right now that there are millions and millions of dollars sitting in bank accounts of people that have died but have this unclaimed money? It's actually billions of dollars. And they used to do this listed in the paper. Like one of the banks would list names of people and the amount of money. And I'd always look for my name on that list. But how frustrating is that? You have heirs that could probably use the money that's sitting in this bank account, but they don't know about their inheritance. And I think that's many believers today. We're in church. We go to church and faithful churchgoers and hear, things from the Bible. But many believers today, they don't know their inheritance. And we need to know what our inheritance is. What we have. Now, I've been emailing, texting. Where's Eddie? Texting. You know what texting is? It's where you have the phone and use your thumbs. I'll show you after. I'll show you after the service. You know what email is, right? Okay. Emailing, texting. How old are you, Eddie? Oh, no, okay. And sharing a lot with people who are dealing with life situations, job promotions, challenges, legal issues, buying or selling property. And I found myself saying the same thing over and over and, encouraging them. But I'm saying this over and over. I've been reminding them that they have peace. Everybody say peace.
Peace.
Wisdom. Favor. Those are three things. There's a whole lot in our inheritance. There's a lot more than this. But three things, when you're facing a situation, when you're dealing with a challenge, three things you need to know that you have as a part of your inheritance: peace, wisdom, and favor. So I want to remind you today, what does Psalm 103 say? Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We have a benefit plan, but we need to be reminded of that. A lot of what we do around here is remind you of things that you learned years ago. But I want to remind you of some of the daily blessings that we have. So if you have your Bible or your phone or your iPad, turn to John 14, and we'll have it up here on the screen. John 14, verse 26, and let's dive into peace. I love the Gospel of John, especially chapters 13 through 17. Some of my favorite chapters in a row in the Bible. And if you need something to read this week, turn to the Gospel of John and read those chapters. Really good stuff in there. But John 14, verse 26 says, "But the Helper..." Anybody need a helper today? The Helper, the Holy Spirit. Is that... Is my mic... I need to move this a little bit. It's not too low. Is that okay? Let me know if I need to move more. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." Isn't that awesome? The peace of Jesus. The peace of God. "My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." God doesn't want you to be troubled today. He doesn't want you to be afraid. Fear is from the enemy. Fear will paralyze you. Fear will stop you from moving forward. Fear is faith in the enemy's promises, his lies, believing that more than God's word. And so the Lord doesn't want us to be afraid. He doesn't want us to be troubled. He doesn't want us to be anxious. The word peace here is, it means rest. Rest. Quietness. And it really, in the definition, is exemption from the rage of war. It's like you've been in battle, and the battle's been won, and now there's peace. It's the rule of order in the place of chaos. Who could use a little bit of that today? Anybody got some drama going on in your life? I don't like drama. It's an inner stability that results in our ability to conduct ourselves peaceably, even in the midst of circumstances that would be nerve-wracking. There's a difference from being peaceful because you're in a peaceful place. Like when I was at Niagara Falls. I've been in some amazing places. Niagara Falls, the Great Wall, Grand Canyon. I remember one time sitting there in the Grand Canyon, and then the sun was rising, and it was very peaceful. But that's just a temporary peace. The peace that God's talking about here is a peace that's on the inside, a peace that abides. Even you may be in a huge storm. Remember Jesus on the back of the boat sleeping? Peace in the midst of the storm. That's an inner peace. That's the kind of peace we're talking about here. And it's a peace that God has given to us, but we need to tap into it. It's an inward peace. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And this peace is so important because it puts you in a place to receive God's blessings. That's the place that we want to be. It puts you in a place where you can hear from God. I've never heard from God when I've been anxious or just all stressed out. It comes when we're at peace, his words. I like what Colossians 3, verse 15 says. We have that. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. This is where we're to live every day and always be thankful. I remember one Wednesday night, and Susie, you might can correct me with this story, but one Wednesday night, we were at service, and Susie and I left after the service, and we're on our way home, and we get a call on our cell phone, and Grayson had just fallen off a vehicle in the church parking lot. Was it Wednesday night? I don't remember. It was. Thanks. Appreciate that. Just if I'm not telling the story right, just yell it out. Well, you were there, so you know. So Grayson wasn't supposed to be doing this. Don't try this at home. He was on the side of an SUV, right? Huh? Where is Wesley? You're hiding back there. I see that. You're smart. And he's so they're riding around the parking lot. And Grayson fell off. And so I get the call, and he's in bad shape, bleeding. Bleeding from his head. He hit his head in the concrete. Pretty rough shape. And so, you know, as a dad or a mom, you know, you get that kind of phone call. That's not what you want to, and it's what you weren't expecting. So we had a little bit of time. I pulled the car over, turned around, came back towards the church, and we both just began to pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues, speak out God's word, things that, you know, as they came to our heart. And so by the time we got back to the church parking lot, there's this crowd gathered around Grayson laying on the ground, and there's blood everywhere. But, you know, when I got there, I had a peace. I had a calmness. Wasn't freaking out. I don't want to see my child laying there like that. And so there's this crowd gathered around him. And so we'd kind of just walk up and kind of park the people aside. And, you know, and there's this peace. So I'm just thinking calmly, what do we need to do here? Because I learned this in dealing with my kids. When they were younger, when they fell, they would look to you to see how they should react. Like if you're all upset when they fell, then they would start crying because you're upset. So I learned that by acting calm when they fell, many times they didn't even cry. They went, oh, okay, you know, just get up and kind of go along. So that was how I was when I came upon Grayson. I spoke to him. He opened his eyes. I checked him to make sure nothing was broken. And it wasn't doing him any good to have, because some people were freaking out around him. They're saying things that I don't want to happen. So I was just kind of, okay, Lord, what do we do here? He said, get him, you know, heard him, get him up, get him into your office, get him cleaned up. So I got him up, brought him in my office, just Susie and I and a few faith people around me. Washed all the blood off him. Prayed over him, and I think he turned out okay. I don't know. What do y'all I mean? That's debatable. But it doesn't help you coming into that kind of a situation already defeated. Already questioning God and, you know, talking the problem and because that person, it's so many times, the first thing that's spoken over them, they latch hold of. So it's important to get the word into them, in God's word. And so those kind of things. You remember the story about Paul? Paul, Acts 27. Paul was a prisoner on this ship and sailing to Rome. He was going to Rome to be tried by the Roman officials. And he's on this ship, and there's this huge storm. And it just doesn't last a few hours. It lasts several days. And the crew is freaking out. The crew doesn't know what to do. And so the first thing they do is they throw all the cargo off the ship, hoping that will help them a little bit. And then that didn't work like they thought it would. And so the next thing they decide to do is, we're going to throw the prisoners off. Let's get rid of them. And so they have this plan, and Paul gets wind of it. And thank God Paul was at peace in the storm. Look what it in Acts 27. Let's look at verse 21. But after a long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Man, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, and there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship." See, when you're at a peaceful place, you can hear from God. "For there stood by me this night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told to me. However, we must run aground on a certain island.' Now when the 14th night had come, as they were driven up and down the Adriatic Sea about midnight," they were saved. They did jump overboard, all of them. They swam to shore, and they were safe. But isn't that something? That Paul had peace amidst the storm. And today, I don't know what you're going through, but one of the things you need today is you need peace. All that stressing out you're doing, all that worrying, it's not helping you a bit. All those words coming out of your mouth, talking the problem, is not helping you. It's just making things worse. And again, I know there's time for counsel, but talk to your crazy faith friends who can give you faith advice, not someone that will agree with you about the problem and give you pity. That's not what you're needing. That's not the kind of advice that you need. You need the Word. You need a Word from God. And you're not going to get a Word from God if you're not in a position of peace. Well, how do I tap into that peace? Do I just stand there and put my hands on my head and say, "I have peace, I have peace, I have peace"? Now, that may work. I've never tried it. I mean, that might, I don't know. But what you're trying to do is tap into that peace that's on the inside of you. And your mind is where the worry and the stress is. And you want to get your mind hooked up with your spirit, in connection with your spirit, so that you can start hearing God thoughts and God's Word. So Philippians 4, verse 6 is the verses we talk about a lot here. But this will help you. Philippians 4, verse 6, and I want to read this from the Amplified. Now, this is a word, you know, you could probably say this to yourself every day. Do not fret. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Do not fret." Do we need to say that again to each other? Or have anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance. Don't you love the words here? And in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace. Everybody's just saying the same thing. Say, peace. Now, you can say that 10 times. Don't, not right now, but later on. And God's peace. I'll try to talk in a soothing voice. If I put you to sleep, that's okay, baby. You need sleep. Someone asked me about sleep during the meet and greet, and I said, they had a very good reason. I said, go ahead and sleep. Just don't snore too loud. Let me get you a pillow. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is. That peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What happens is that peace, as you're talking to God, as you're praying in the Spirit, as you're praying according to your mind and in English, as you're confessing God's Word, as you're giving God's praise. I mean, I'm sure even during praise today, I don't know if anybody felt it, just a peacefulness. And what happens is that peace, it doesn't come from out here. It comes from within here. It rises up from our spirit and floods our soul. And so I like that about it, garrison, that peace garrison around our mind. So no lies from the devil can get in, only faith thoughts, faith words. Words from the Holy Spirit. You're in a place for God to speak to you. All right, let's move on to our second daily blessing. Did you get that one? Our second daily blessing, wisdom. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Did I say second or first? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus. Who's in Christ Jesus today? I didn't see... What? Are half of you not saved? Who's in Christ Jesus today? Good, thank you. You can participate today. Some of you are asleep, but that's okay. But those that are awake, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus. We're in Christ. When you were born again, you now have a position which the Bible calls in Christ. Paul brings that revelation. There's over 140 different references to who we are in Christ. That's all part of our identity. That's a good study to go through Paul's writings and find all the references. Who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now let me ask you, do you have righteousness? Do you have sanctification? Some of you don't even know what that is. I'm not going to describe it, but you don't even know whether you have it or not because you know what the word means. And redemption. Have you been bought with the blood of Jesus? Have you been redeemed from the curse of the law? Poverty, sickness, spiritual death. I'm redeemed. I am redeemed. I am sanctified, whatever that means. I am righteous. Well, then I could just take all those and then say, I have wisdom because I'm in Christ. Wisdom has the answers, the revelation, and the solutions. I like this, to reverse any situation and turn it around for the better. Woo! That's something good. Wisdom, it reverses situations and turns them around for the better. Who wants better? I want better. It is divine enlightenment. I just like the way that sounds. Divine enlightenment. Divine insight. Now, education is good. I got a lot of education in college. Education is good, but education gives you facts and information. Wisdom gives you the principles, the solutions, and the answers. Wisdom gives you special insights that will help you know what to do. Wisdom will guide you into what is right. Now, who knows what the most talked about verse is for wisdom? Huh? James 1:5. Give that man a gold star over here. Ushers. James chapter 1. Oh man, this is good. I'm about to get in some good stuff. Woo! If Nate was up to it, I'd give Nate a chest bump right now. Back when I had more weight on me, I would do chest bumps with people and just knock them over. So Nate's kind of afraid today. I don't know. I think someone did. Never buy a new jacket when you're about to lose weight. That's a good stewardship tip. Okay, go ahead. All right. James 1, verse 5. If any of you is deficient in wisdom. I like that word there. New King James says lack. But that's really what it is. You lack information. You're deficient in what to do. If any is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God. Now, I love this. Who gives to everyone liberally. Did you know that God's a liberal? All those on your Facebook page, you put conservative when God's a liberal. I shouldn't mention that, okay? Don't talk about politics in church. In this atmosphere, people are fighting mad right now, and I shouldn't mention it. Conservative, liberal. How about believer? That's my political views, believer. Because I need to believe God. With what we got going on in this world and our governments, we need to be believers.
Yeah, we do.
Because this... I should stop. But this... this liberal and conservative thing, man, it's not working. We need some other new thing. How about like fantastic or outrageous? How about the outrageous party or something? I don't know. The faith party? The wild party? All right, let's move on. All right. Who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly? The ungrudging party. Without reproaching or fault fighting. And it will be given to him. Only it must be in faith that he asks, with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers, hesitates, doubts, is like the billowing surge out of the sea that is blown hither and thither. Say that 10 times. Hither and thither. Hither and thither. Hither. No. I'm sorry, guys. This is the day I didn't want to go to church. So give me some grace. My legs are really sore. My body's sore. So just give me some grace today. Don't give me pity, but give me a little sympathy. Hither and thither, it tossed by the wind. For truly, not
let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. For being as he is a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, and decides. See, that's why the first one about peace is a good place to receive wisdom. I would just say this, peace is the foundation for wisdom. Because you can't be a man of two minds. You can't have this war going on in your soul. You want to be at peace. And I like this. Well, then, if we have peace, why do we need to ask for it? Well, your spirit's not deficient, but your soul is. So you're asking God really to help you get it from here to here. And you need the help of the Holy Spirit to do that. And I like that, how he gives it to you liberally. Yeah. He's not conservative here. He's liberal. Gives it to you liberally. And without reproach, meaning it doesn't, it's not based on prior performance. Anybody here missed it? You guys are not responding at all today because just like we're saved, everybody here should say, you don't want to admit it, but you've missed it before. Come on. And there's sometimes when you've missed it, you feel like, well, God's going to punish you. He's not going to bless me today because I've done such and such in my past and I'm not worthy. But you're righteous and you got a right standing with God and you're a son and daughter of God. And he doesn't go by past performance. He goes by who you are. He goes by your identity. So today, he wants to just pour wisdom into your life. But are we going to be in a place to receive it? You can't be double-minded about it. You've got to be in a place of peace, rest, in a place where you can hear from God. I've told this story many times, but it bears repeating today. I worked for a company before pastored Good News Church called Federal Paperboard. You may not know the name, but you know the smell out there by the airport. As the paper mill out there. I worked there for six years, from 1990 to the beginning of 1997. And I started working at the paper mill and got a promotion there and another promotion. And then finally I was in a place to be what's the term is controller, the head accountant at a plant. And so they offered me a job in the Johnston sawmill. Johnston is about 50 minutes southeast. Northeast, thank you. And it was a great place to work. About 100 employees, great job. A manager learning, you know, handled the accounting, head of the safety, head of the IT. I mean, did a lot of different jobs there. Great experience. Well, Federal merged with a company called International Paper. And that's what it is now. International Paper is a huge company, about 90,000 employees. And so a lot of changes happened because of that, because of this new company. Well, when that happened, they offered me a job at the Augusta sawmill, which had a lot more employees, higher wage, and less of a drive, 25 minutes as opposed to 50 minutes. And at that time, I was driving. You ever see one of those huge Cadillacs, the old ones? I was looking at a piece of land, and the realtor that was showing us the land, we pulled up, and I'm driving this. It was my father-in-law, he gave it to me. And so I'm driving this big blue Cadillac, one of those old ones. Huh? Like an 86 Cadillac. Man, I wish I had the metal from that thing, man. It was metal. Okay. And so I pull up to look at the lot, And the realtor says, I'm just coming off work and I'm wearing a tie and everything like that. And he says, are you an undertaker? I thought, well, what do they pay? I don't know. Maybe I can do that on the side. I don't know. And so I'm driving this Cadillac. It gets like 2 miles to the gallon. But it's a lot of luxury. And so it's like 2 miles.
You surround me, singing. You're a...
There's some guy, I'm losing the service. There's some guys up there that didn't want to be here today either. Their moms made them go to church. Brian, did your mother call you and tell you to come to church today? Like I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted. This is where you have to know your identity, because I don't know what's happening. No. So it's getting like 2 miles to the gallon, and I'm driving 50 minutes. I mean, it's costing me a lot of money. So it's, you even remember the story here? So I've been offered this job, and so it's like, it's a no-brainer, right? We're smart people, no-brainer. Bigger staff, better pay, you know, less gas guzzling. I mean, all these different things, more prestige in the company. I pray about it. The Lord tells me don't take it. I call my boss. He cusses me. This tells you how where I'm at with the company. He cusses me out on the phone. You stupid idiot. You're never going to go nowhere in this company. You are so dumb. I mean, he puts cuss words together I'd never heard. Not even a sailor could put them together like that. He just flat cussed me. Ever been there? He just cussed me out. Well, then a short time later, they offer me a job in Dallas and fly me out there. That's where the headquarters is for my division. They fly me out there and go through all the different things and end up offering me that job. I got to call my boss again. I mean, it was double trouble that time. He was really mad. Like, what are you doing? Don't you care about your career? Well, then, just a few months later, it's that same boss calls me. He's happy. He's like giddy. I can just tell. I mean, I've never heard him like this. He's so excited. And he gets on the phone and he says, your job has been eliminated. He's happy. I'm going to be gone. And there's a little clause in the International Paper Employee Manual says that if I refuse a job, I won't get a severance package. If I turn down a job somewhere else, I won't receive a severance package. And so now it's like, you know, Susie's pregnant with Grayson, of course. We love Grayson. How can you not love Grayson? And so that, you know, and I don't have, we had started the church already, put all our savings into the church, into you. I don't want to go to church. Those people you've given me. I meet those pastors that don't like the congregations. Man, I just want to slap them. Can you slap another pastor? So I'm not, you know, so I'm in a pretty desperate situation. Then they want me to work, the same boss wants me to work to the end of January. because it's a really crazy time of year, really busy. They're going to need me. Oh, I'm so needed now for 1 month. And so I am like mad. I am like upset. I am nervous. I'm stressed out. You ever had that where you're just laying in bed at night and you can't sleep because all was on your mind? I didn't have any peace. Anybody ever been there? And I'm not in faith. And I'm not hearing from God. And I'm mad at the world. And how are we going to make it? And I got this growing family. And we've got bills. And I mean, it's looking, I'm having, you know, dreams of me walking on the side of the road kind of thing. I mean, the devil's really smacking me around. Well, then I decided to do all those things that I preach about. All those steps to faith, all those different things that we share with you that we should be doing. I actually did those things. And so I actually went and got my Bible. Now, I know that's radical. Found my Bible, blew all the dust off it, opened it up and began to go to the Word and started to find promises of God concerning the situation, like Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs. I mean, that's like just should just come out of you, according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And found a whole series of verses about my situation, and I began to feed on those, and I wasn't peaceful immediately. I wasn't like, it took me, you know, because it was a lot of stuff swirling around my head. It took a while for those voices to shut up. But I began to take the Word. I began to confess it. I took a little extra time in prayer. Began to pray in the Spirit. Romans 8 says, when you don't know how to pray as you ought, pray in the Holy Spirit. Praying the perfect will of God. And those voices got quieter and quieter and quieter and quieter until I was in a place to hear from God and get wisdom. Didn't happen immediately. It was a process. And there was one day I was praying and the Lord spoke to me. And people, my plant manager and people I worked with, they were writing letters to people and contacting people. Not that the boss that was so happy that I was leaving, he didn't do anything, but other leaders in the organization were calling people that they knew, trying to work this out for me and my family. Nothing. So I'm praying one day, and I just kind of hear this on the inside. It wasn't like words in heaven or this booming voice from God. It was just a small, still voice inside of me. It says, you need to call the human resources director for International Paper up in New York, New York, and tell them your situation. Now, I had met the guy at a seminar for like 2 minutes. He doesn't know me. But that's what I got on the inside to do. And so the next thing I did is I called up there. Again, he's the human resource director of 90,000 people. He's got a big job. I call up there, and to my amazement, I get through to the guy right there. And I tell him my story and told him what's happening and told him my job's being eliminated. I'm not getting a severance package. And just explain to him the whole thing. And so he says to me, he says, Matt, I can't promise you anything, but I'll look into it and I'll get back to you. I don't know the guy. But this is what I felt was the thing to do. This is the guidance I had to do. And I've learned to follow that inner voice like that. The next day, he calls me and he says to me, he says, Matt, you're going to receive the severance package. Then he asked me, when do you want to leave the company? I mean, I could leave today. He said, you could leave today if you wanted to. I said, no, I want to leave January 3rd. That was a Monday. I want to leave January 3rd because if I leave January 3rd, I'll get 3 weeks of vacation Plus, I'll be eligible for the first quarter bonus. And I kind of did it to make my boss mad. That was mean. I repent. It was mean-spirited, but I did it anyway. So I left January 3rd, got the severance package. Grayson was born in May. Insurance ran all the way till then, paid for the whole thing. I made more in those 6 months than I did when I worked for the company. And then by the time the 6 months was over, I was ready to go on salary with Good News Church. Now, I wish everything worked out quite that way, but that's an up there kind of story. That's something that's marked my thinking. But this wisdom from God is available for small things, for big things. It's available for you today.
That's right.
We need to be in a place of peace, but then we also need to be in a place where we're listening, expecting God to speak to us, because He wants to give wisdom to you liberally. He's generous with wisdom. He wants you to have it. He doesn't want it to be a mystery. Wisdom is God's thoughts. Wisdom is God ideas. Knowing what to do, the right thing to do. He has that for us today. Hallelujah.